All right, so we're diving into Inserti Dembre. Are you ready for this? This book by Francisco Sagasti, it's a lot.
It's dense.
It is. It's
Yeah,
dense.
yeah.
But it's really about this feeling that so many of us have right now of like, where are we? What is happening in the world?
Yeah.
And where are we going? And Sagasti, he does a really good job, I think, of kind of laying out like how we got here
Yeah.
and then sort of some potential paths forward.
Yeah, no, he does a really good job of, I think, using history to kind of set the stage for the very unique moment that we're in.
Totally.
And, you know, he goes all the way back to Sir Francis Bacon
Oh yeah.
to kind of lay the foundation for where we are today.
For anyone who's like Sir Francis Bacon,
Right.
can we just give a little like,
Yeah.
who was this guy? What was he about?
So he was a 16th, 17th century thinker, and he's often considered the father of the scientific method as we know it today. And what was really important about him and his contribution to kind of Western thought is that he really popularized this idea of the Baconian program, as it's called, which is this idea that knowledge, particularly knowledge of the natural world, equates to power.
Okay.
And that by unlocking the secrets of the natural world through science, we can use that power to improve the human condition.
Okay. So knowledge is power, and
Exactly.
we should use it to make the world a better place.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so this idea really took root in Western civilization, and it led to a lot of the advancements that we've seen.
Holy.
But as Sagasti points out, it also led to some unintended consequences,
Right.
because in our pursuit of knowledge and power, we often overlook the need for sustainability,
Right.
for ethical considerations, for the long-term impact of our actions.
Like we were so focused on like the power part of the equation
Yes.
that we forgot about the like for the betterment of humanity part of the equation.
Exactly. And we're seeing that play out today in a very real way with things like climate change, right? Resource depletion, the unintended consequences of certain technologies.
Totally.
All of these things are symptoms of this kind of unchecked pursuit of knowledge and power that Bacon really set in motion.
So it's not that he was wrong.
Right.
It's just that maybe he only saw
Big
it just,
picture.
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's how we get to this, like, he calls it the fractured global
The
order.
fractured global order, yeah.
What is that? What does he mean by that?
So he's basically saying that we live in a world that is both more interconnected than ever before,
Right.
but also more divided.
Okay.
So we have globalization, we have
Right.
technology that allows us to connect with people all over the world instantaneously.
Right.
But at the same time, we're seeing rising nationalism,
Yeah.
political polarization, social fragmentation.
Totally.
And so it's this weird paradox of being hyper-connected, but also deeply divided. And he sees this playing out in a number of different ways.
So, like, give me an example.
Sure. So one example is the uneven distribution of technological advancement. He points out that while some countries and regions have benefited enormously from technological progress,
Sure.
others have been left behind. And this creates a digital divide, a knowledge divide that
Ah.
exacerbates existing inequalities.
So it's like we're all in the same boat,
Yeah.
but some of us have like really fancy high-tech cabins,
Exactly.
and some of us are like rowing.
Exactly. And that's contributing to the sense of a fractured global order.
And I imagine the rise of China plays into this as well.
I
It's that's
mean,
a whole other layer.
it's a huge factor, and Sagasti does address that in his book.
Okay.
He talks about how China's growing influence, particularly in Latin America, presents both opportunities and challenges.
Right.
And he draws parallels to Latin America's history of dependency on Western powers,
Okay.
suggesting that we need to be cautious about repeating those
So,
patterns.
like, we don't want to just jump out of the frying pan
Exactly.
and into the
We
fire.
need to be more strategic, more discerning about how we engage with China.
Right. So it's not to say that like China's bad, but it's to say that we need to be mindful of like
That's
the
the
power
thing.
dynamics at play.
Power dynamics and long-term implications,
Got it.
and not just looking for a quick
Right.
fix.
Okay. So we're in this fractured global order.
Yeah.
We've got all this technology shaping our lives. We've got China's influence on the rise.
Yeah.
Like, it feels kind of overwhelming, to be
But
honest.
a lot.
Where do we even begin? Like, how do we even start to find our footing in all of this?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and that's really what Sagasti is trying to grapple with in his book. And one of the things he emphasizes is the need to rethink our very definition of development.
Okay, so what does that mean? Like, are we ditching the whole economic growth model?
Not necessarily ditching it, but definitely reimagining it.
Okay.
He's saying it's not just about traditional economic growth anymore.
Okay.
We need to move beyond this constant striving for more stuff, more consumption,
right,
and start thinking about what a fulfilling life looks like in this new reality.
So less about accumulating things and more about...
More about sustainable livelihoods, for one.
Okay.
He acknowledges that automation and AI are changing the job market as we know it.
Right.
So it's less about clinging to traditional jobs and more about fostering self-reliance, adaptability.
Okay.
Maybe even a bit of entrepreneurial spirit.
So instead of like expecting to graduate from college and get a stable 9-to-5,
right,
you need to be prepared to like create your own opportunities.
To some extent, yes. And he sees a lot of potential in service industries.
Okay.
Things like education, healthcare, creative pursuits.
Yeah.
These can be less resource intensive than traditional manufacturing, for example.
Right.
And can contribute to a more holistic sense of development.
So it's about finding ways to thrive both individually and as a society.
Exactly.
Without destroying the planet in the process.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance between progress and sustainability.
Got it.
And this ties into his emphasis on a natural knowledge economy.
Oh, boy.
A natural knowledge economy.
What is that?
So this is where modern science and technology work in harmony with traditional knowledge.
Okay.
Particularly when it comes to managing resources.
So it's like blending the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
Like the cutting edge innovation.
Yeah.
But also the wisdom and practices that have sustained communities for generations.
Precisely. It's about finding that sweet spot where progress and sustainability go hand in hand.
So we're talking about like redefining development, right?
Yeah.
Finding sustainable livelihoods. Building this natural knowledge economy. But like, who's actually in charge here? Who's making all this happen?
Well, that brings us to another key part of Sagasti's book, and that's the importance of good governance.
Okay.
Especially in these uncertain times that we're living in. You know, he lays out a framework for governance that I think is really relevant to the challenges that we're facing today.
Okay, so break it down for me. What's different about his approach to governance?
He emphasizes the need to distinguish between, and this is interesting, circumstances, problems, and conditions. So think of it this way. Circumstances are like small fires.
Okay.
Easy to put out.
Okay.
You've got your tools. You know what to do. Problems are a bit bigger. They require more effort, more creativity, but they're still solvable.
Okay.
Conditions, though, those are the deep-rooted issues. Things like inequality, like climate change. The erosion of trust in institutions.
Right.
These are things that require long-term strategies and systemic solutions.
So it's like recognizing what we're actually dealing with.
Exactly.
And not using a fire extinguisher on a forest fire.
100%. And he talks about how mindset, evidence, and character all play a role in making sound judgments.
Okay.
He says leaders need to be adaptable. They need to be able to adjust their thinking as new information emerges.
Okay.
But they also need to base their decisions on solid evidence, not just gut feelings or ideology.
Right.
And crucially, they need to act with integrity.
Okay.
With a commitment to the common good.
So it's about having a flexible mind, relying on facts,
yeah,
and leading with your conscience, which all sounds great, but it's easier said than done right.
It's very true. And Sagasti doesn't shy away from calling out the allure of authoritarianism.
Oh, interesting.
In times of uncertainty.
Because it's easier, right?
It's tempting. It's easier. It feels safer sometimes to think that a strongman figure can just come in, cut through the red tape, and deliver these quick fixes.
Right.
But as Sagasti points out, authoritarian regimes, by their very nature, are often rigid and inflexible.
Right.
They struggle to adapt. They struggle to learn from mistakes.
Which makes them not very good at dealing with, like, complex.
Exactly. They don't do well with nuance. They're trying to impose order on a world that is constantly evolving.
So not great for the fractured global order.
Not ideal. Not ideal. So what's the alternative?
Right. What's the alternative?
Well, Sagasti is a firm believer in democratic governance, but he acknowledges that it's not a magic bullet.
Right.
He argues that it hinges on something very fundamental, and that's trust.
Well, yeah, if people don't trust their leaders,
exactly,
or they don't trust the institutions,
yeah,
then why would they follow their lead?
100%.
Yeah.
And this is where he brings up this really interesting concept of radical moderation in leadership.
Radical moderation.
Ooh.
Okay, that sounds like a contradiction in terms.
It does. It does, but it's a really fascinating idea. So he's talking about this delicate balance between tolerance and setting firm boundaries.
Yep.
It's about being open to different perspectives, engaging in dialogue,
Okay.
but also having the courage to stand up against things that undermine democratic values.
Like what kinds of things?
Things like corruption, violence, the suppression of dissent.
Okay.
So it's about being strong, but not rigid, open, but not naive, principled, but not dogmatic.
Right. Okay. That sounds tricky.
It is. It's a very difficult balance to strike. And that's why he stresses the importance of values.
Like, okay.
He argues that we need to redefine and revitalize our values if we're going to create a more just and sustainable world.
Okay, so like what kind of values are we talking about?
Well, he talks about reaffirming universal moral values. Things like empathy, honesty, respect for human dignity, a rejection of violence.
Okay, so like remembering that we're all human.
Exactly. Remembering our shared humanity, even when it feels like everything is trying to divide us.
Right.
But he goes further. It argues for values that put environmental sustainability front and center.
Okay.
Values that guide us toward more ethical and respectful social interactions, particularly in our increasingly digital world.
So it's not just about being like a good person.
Right.
It's about like building a better world.
Exactly. And this is where it gets really personal. Because he ties this idea of shared values to the importance of self-knowledge and introspection.
Okay, hold on. How do we fit into all of this?
Sagasti is essentially saying, if you want to build a better world, you have to start by understanding yourself.
Okay.
He's challenging us to take a look in the mirror, right? To examine our own values, our own biases, our own motivations,
okay,
and even our blind spots.
So it's about being really honest with ourselves.
It's about being honest with ourselves and being willing to do the work.
Right. Because if we're not aware of our own baggage, right, our own stuff,
yeah,
we're more likely to fall into the same old patterns of behavior,
right,
that created these problems in the first place.
So we've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
From, you know, Bacon and his influence on how we even think about knowledge.
Right.
To this idea of living in a fractured global order.
Yeah.
Which is a very, like, evocative phrase.
It is.
And, of course, like, Sagasti's vision for how we navigate this new reality.
Yeah.
We're talking rethinking development.
Yeah.
You know, being more mindful of governance. And even looking inward at our own values.
Right, taking stock of ourselves.
It's a lot.
It is.
But I think what I appreciate about his work,
yeah,
is that it's not all doom and gloom.
No, it's not.
Like, he does seem to have this kind of underlying optimism.
Yeah.
This belief that we can figure things out,
yeah,
if we're willing to do the work.
100%. I think that comes through. And I think what's really key there is that he offers us a path forward. It's not just analysis. It's not just diagnosing the problem.
Right.
It's like, okay, here's what we can do about it.
Right. And it starts with each of us individually.
Exactly.
You know, like, he's not letting anyone off the hook here.
No.
He's saying you have agency. You have power to make choices.
You have a role to play.
Don't squander it.
Exactly.
By, you know, burying your head in the sand.
Right. Or just getting overwhelmed and tuning it all out.
Exactly. Because then you're just going to be, you know, subject to whatever forces are shaping the world.
Which is probably not what you want.
Right. It's like giving up your power to choose.
Exactly.
So what can people do? Like, what are some practical takeaways here?
Well, I think it starts with those questions that Sagasti poses.
Okay.
About, you know, what do I stand for?
Right.
What kind of world do I want to live in? What am I willing to do?
And those aren't just rhetorical questions.
You know, these are questions that he wants us to really grapple with.
Right.
To let them guide our choices.
Yeah, both big and small.
Right. Exactly. Everything from, you know, how we vote to what we buy.
Totally.
To how we interact with people online.
It's about, like, aligning our actions.
Yeah.
With our values.
Absolutely. And it's about thinking beyond ourselves.
Right.
Which brings us to his idea of building a more inclusive us.
Okay.
So it's not just about me and my little bubble.
Right.
It's about recognizing our shared humanity.
Okay.
And extending our circle of concern to include people who are different from us, people who are on the other side of the world.
Future generations?
Future generations, exactly. Because the choices that we make today are going to have ripple effects.
Oh, Lord.
And we need to be mindful of that.
It's that whole thing of, like, we're not inheriting the earth from our ancestors.
Right.
We're borrowing it from our children.
Exactly. We're stewards of this planet,
right,
for a very brief time.
And he ends on a very, I thought, poignant quote from Plato.
He does.
That the price of disengagement from politics is to be governed by the worst.
It's a powerful quote because it reminds us that opting out is not really an option.
Right.
Silence, indifference, they have consequences just as real as any action.
So what's the call to action then? What do we do with all of this?
I think it comes down to this. Don't underestimate your own agency.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to ask tough questions to challenge the status quo, to hold yourself accountable, and to hold others accountable for creating a world that is more just more sustainable, more humane.
Because if not us, then who? That feels like a good place to wrap things up.
Yeah, I think so.
So to our listeners, as you go out and navigate this increasingly complex world, you know, keep Sagasti's words in mind.
Yeah.
Challenge your assumptions. Embrace your agency and never underestimate your power to make a difference.
It's been a pleasure diving deep with you.
Likewise. Until next time.